The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president begins this week. I'm former U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, and this week, legal expert Ricky Kleeman joins me on my podcast, Stay Tuned with Preet. We talk about jury selection, the latest trial developments, and legal strategy.
From the defense point of view, for Donald Trump to be signing checks for Michael Cohen, it would have been something usual, because Michael Cohen was working for the Trumps.
The episode is out now. Search and follow Stay Tuned with Preet wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mike Heck here for MMAfighting.com, reacting to some very big news on this Wednesday, January 26th, 2022. We have ourselves a UFC lightweight title fight. May 7th, UFC 274, Charles Oliveira will defend his title against Justin Gaethje. Now, we knew this fight was coming. It wasn't a matter of if, it was just a matter of when. And the when is May 7th officially, per Dana White telling the broadcast partner ESPN. We have also confirmed this ourselves. Gaethje coming off an MMA fighting fight of the year victory over Michael Chandler at UFC 268. Oliveira coming off his first successful title defense, submitting Dustin Poirier at UFC 274. And joining me in this reaction are my good buddies and colleagues, Sean Alshadi, Alexander K. Lee. Sean, look, this fight is awesome. Everybody knows it's awesome. But very few can paint word pictures like you can. So go ahead and paint one right now, sir. We got Oliveira, Gaethje, lightweight title, and go.
Oh boy, man. I mean, Jesus Christ, you like violence. This is what it is, man. This is it, right? Like, this is, we've been waiting for this one, and this was sort of like, we knew this was coming. It's one of those fights where you know it's coming, but the moment it is booked, you get that little jolt. You get those goosebumps, those chicken skin, as somebody had mentioned on the broadcast the other, I think Bizbang or somebody on the broadcast, which is a weird way to describe that, but I absolutely love this fight. I will say the announcement is a tiny bit bittersweet to me, just because I thought the idea of having it in Brazil would have been so cool. That would have been such a nice moment. The UFC hasn't been back to Brazil since the pandemic began. You look at this card, obviously Glover Teixeira is on this as well, with against Jiří Prochazka. Getting the chance to have this sort of homecoming for Charles Oliveira, of coming back after he defies the odds again and again. He's now the man, and it's undisputed. He is no chance that anybody's saying Dustin Poirier is a lightweight champ or anything like that. Getting him and Glover on a Brazil card and letting them get that hero's welcome back home would have been really cool. But still, the fact that this is happening at all, I absolutely love it. We have an active lightweight champion, my man. When's the last time we've been able to say that? Like, this division is moving again. It's fantastic. It's my opinion still. I know everybody loves bantamweights, but in my opinion, this is still the best division in the whole damn sport. And these two men are psychos. I mean, we just had Justin Gaethje over the weekend say he was bored by his fight against Michael Chandler, that he didn't like the fight against Michael Chandler, which won pretty much every fight of the year award in the history of you know, all these awards last year. So I absolutely love it. I can't wait. It's in May. Why is it in May? Why does it have to be so far away? Let's do this next month. Come on.
This is why you went first. See, you painted the word picture. You set AK up perfectly. Stocked in a Malone time. So AK, obviously the fight to make, especially now that we knew that Islam Makhachev and Beneil Dariush are going to do the damn thing on February 26th. So you assume the next guy will be coming out of that fight. So like Sean said, this division is starting to move forward. Title implications for all of these fights. We now know they have something to fight towards. Your thoughts now that this first lightweight title fight of 2022 is now official?
Yeah, it is kind of nice to know we have a fight so far ahead of time. I know fans these days are more accustomed to getting it like 2 months ahead of time. And even then you have fans kind of going like, oh, my gosh, why are they announcing it now? There's so much can go wrong. So I guess we have to have cautious optimism here. Oddly, I kind of had the same feeling about this, like the MVP fight over in Bellator, MVP's next fight with Amosov, which is also in May. So I don't know. I think it's a good thing promotions are announcing these things so far ahead of time. But I get it. A lot of people are probably going like, man, what are the chances that this fight stays together and nothing goes wrong and everything plays out as supposed to? But again, let us be positive. Let us be optimistic. And just, I mean, the fact that this fight has been booked, it has been put out into the MMA ether is wonderful. I mean, the math alone is staggering. And you guys know I love rules and I also love basic math and not complicated math. That's another thing. Charles Oliveira, most finishes in UFC history, most submissions, obviously, I think 15 submissions, numerous bonuses. Justin Gaethje would probably have the most UFC bonuses if he had been with the UFC longer. He has 10, I think, and he's only fought in the UFC 9 times. So he is still averaging, he's more technically than one bonus per appearance, slightly more than one bonus. And now you throw these guys in there together. I don't think it's the fight everyone wanted to. There's no drama around the negotiations. When the Poirier and Oliveira business was resolved, everyone was saying it's just Gaethje. Even Dana White, in a rare moment of post-fight, you know, immediate kind of post-fight matchmaking, was like, yeah, Gaethje's the next guy. Again, you have Makhachev, you have Beneil Dariush, you have, as Shaheen said, it is just a loaded division. You're gonna have guys coming. Who knows? Fazeev might just smoke RDA, and then we're going, oh man, gotta give Fazeev a title shot sometime for the end of the year. But right now, the one that we have in front of us, it has fight of the year, a candidate written all over it, or a possible submission of the year, or a knockout of the year, depending who wins. It's just what we watch. It's what we watch MMA for. And the UFC's already had two great title fights. Well, I'd say one great title fight with Moreno Figueiredo, three, and a fascinating title fight with Ngannou and Gon. So
that's a great title fight.
I don't want to speak for everyone. Right. I can tell you there's a strong segment of the MMA fan base that did not enjoy that fight. I'm not part of them. I thought it was fascinating.
Well, there's a strong segment of the MMA fan base who's been telling me that Ngannou is a boring champion. So it's just like, I think there's a strong segment of the fan base who are morons, if we're being honest. I'm just saying.
I do feel confident speaking for the fan base now and saying 98% is excited for this fight, because if you can't be, you're probably not a reasonable member of the MMA fan base.
Yes. I don't want to meet those 2%. I don't trust those 2%. I will say, too, let me just jump in quickly, Mike. One thing, too, that this booking does for us is it really lets us know. It just kind of gives us that reassurance that there's not going to be any shenanigans, that there's not going to be a fugazi title fight coming up, that we're not going to hold this belt on the shelf until like July for one Conor McGregor. I'm just saying, like, this is the notice that we got, right? Like, this division is not coming back. It's not being, it is coming back. It's not being put on hold for this guy with this nebulous timeline. And I understand Charles, after, you know, that last title fence, saying, hey, if Conor wants to jump the line, go for it. I get it. He wants the money. He wants the big fight, but we got the right fight. And that's all that matters.
You are playing with so much fire right now. We are like 3 months away now from God forbid one of these guys getting injured and Conor McGregor stepping in as a late replacement. We are playing with so much fire right now, Shaheen.
Hey, that's fine. If he wants to do that, if he wants to step in May as a late replacement, more power to him. I don't know how he could potentially do that with his injury and how long it takes to recover from that. But I'm just saying, as long as this belt isn't on the shelf for like August or like July or something, and just to artificially delay it even longer to wait for him. That's all.
Yeah, maybe Conor will take some motivation from Francis Ngannou defending his title on one leg. Maybe he can jump in on one leg himself. Who knows? But I'll tell you my thoughts. My initial thought was, I knew we would get this announcement this week. I knew we would get this announcement today. I knew we would get it today. The timing is perfect. Dana White's getting ready to do a fan Q&A with Laura Senko, and the UFC is thinking to themselves, how can we make sure that we don't get 500 Francis Ngannou questions from the fans? Let's announce the best title fight we can announce. But that was my initial thought on the whole thing, Sean. They could have announced this next week. They could have announced it 2 weeks from now. They could have announced it at UFC 271, February 12th. It's not that far away. But they chose today to announce this fight. The timing just seems so interesting, right? PR 101, Sean. It just seems like we're trying to take our focus off of one thing and put it on something a lot more exciting.
Mike Heck, you couldn't be suggesting the something shiny corollary right now, are you? The hey, here, look at this dazzling, glimmering thing, everybody. Don't pay attention to what's going on over on the left. That's not what you're saying, right?
Cynical. Cynical, Mike.
How dare they? They couldn't do that to us.
It was funny. I was talking to a friend of ours, Marcel Dorf, and he was like, oh, what do you think is going to happen today? I'm like, they're going to announce Justin Gaethje versus Charles Oliveira. And he goes, no way. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, they're going to announce that fight today. And I got the laughing emoji from him as soon as that report came out from Brett Okamoto. So, AK, Charles Oliveira, the number one ranked fighter, much earned in MMA Fighting's global rankings at 155 pounds, which might mean more than the belt itself, if we're actually being honest here. But opening lines right now, AK, Oliveira, the minus 155 favorite, the comeback on Justin Gaethje, plus 135. I feel like this is the type of line that Charles Oliveira deserves because he didn't get this kind of respect heading into the Dustin Poirier fight. Your thoughts on the lines? Did Vegas get this one right, at least on the early stages before the money starts coming in?
Yeah, definitely. Look, jiu-jitsu is back. All right, we've seen jiu-jitsu. It's back. It's real. Forget what Derek Lewis says and some other people say. It is real. Okay. Glover Teixeira just won with the gentle art. Okay. We just saw that. He became UFC champion with the gentle art. Oliveira, of course, has shown a lot of striking as well. But at the base of it is, man, that just that next level grappling that I think nobody else at 155 has. And I think people are kind of looking at the Khabib Gaethje fight and thinking that if Oliveira can get him down, we know Gaethje can be submitted. And certainly, once it gets down there again, he doesn't have the takedown game of Nurmagomedov. But once it gets down there, or once he takes your back standing, even you're a goner. It's over. So yeah, there's a lot of respect there for the champ. Poirier was viewed probably as his biggest challenge. There's a lot of respect for Gaethje. You said Gaethje's only what,
plus 135,
so barely an underdog. So there's still respect the other way. But I think it's opened with Oliveira as a minor favorite. I think it'll stay that way. I think it'll move further in his direction, but I don't think it gets anywhere near like minus 200 or anything like that. I think around like minus 150 is the right spot that it should be at.
Sean, are you concerned that because Charles Oliveira is fighting Justin Gaethje, we know how just maniacal Justin Gaethje is when that bell rings and the fight starts and that cage door locks behind him, are we actually going to hear this narrative that he's going to make Charles Oliveira quit in this fight, that Charles is not durable, that Charles can't take a beating? Because I swear to God, if I hear this narrative heading into this fight, I'm going to be so upset.
There's no way, right? Like, you have to think we're done with this. That died. That died in December when we just saw what we saw against Dustin Poirier. Like, this is two fights in a row now where Charles Oliveira has shown us what he is made of. He is not that guy anymore. And anybody who's still using that tire narrative, whether it's Justin Gaethje or somebody in the media, I just don't want to hear it. I'm right there with you. I will say, though, I am pretty surprised that Justin is the underdog. For some reason, it just felt like people were going to continue, at least to some degree, sleeping on Charles Oliveira and just not believing in him purely because of what you just mentioned. The way these title fights go, every single time we see this guy out there, it's as if he's 2 seconds away from losing every fight he's in until he just magically wins, and it's just the craziest thing we've ever seen. That's a hard thing to do on Justin Gaethje, man. Like, Justin Gaethje, of anybody in this lightweight division, once he smells blood, that fight's over. Like, he's not letting up. He's not making the mistake that anybody else is making. Like, he is going to finish that fight if there's an opportunity to finish it. I am a little surprised that Charles Oliveira is actually getting the respect that he has earned, that he deserves. Like you said, he is the number one lightweight in the world in the MMA fighting rankings, the most important rankings in the entire MMA space. It took him a long time to get there. None of us believed in him except for AK. He's the only person on the whole team.
You're darn right.
But hey, that's scoreboard for AK. But it's one of those things that nobody believes in us team, right? You always hear Bill Simmons talk about the nobody believes in us team. Charles Oliveira was the nobody believes in us champion. Now he's the everybody believes in us champion. That's a different dynamic to go into a fight, right? Like, Charles Oliveira thrives as the underdog. Once everybody's expecting him to win, that is a much different dynamic to just go into, to hear the type of conversation around you, the questions you hear, everything around it. I'm curious to see how he handles that, because being the everybody believes in his champion is much, much more difficult, it feels like, than being the nobody believes in his champion.
That is a really excellent point right there, especially the way he beat Dustin Poirier and the doubts and how he answered a lot of those questions. So let's have some fun here, gentlemen. We're running out of time, but I know we're 4 months away and we're going to put out this positive juju. So AK, what's your gut telling you? Early pick. We can change by the time this fight happens. We have a preview show before May 7th, but what's your gut telling you? What's the early selection? Are you going with Ann Still or Ann New with Justin Gaethje?
Of course I'm riding Ann Still. I've gone with the Dil Bronx train this far. I'm not jumping off now. I think he wins by submission. In my mind, obviously, it's hard for me to shake the Poirier fight, so I see it being similar to that. But Poirier and Gaethje are different fighters, so I'll go like third round. First round would be stunning. If he could submit Justin Gaethje in the first round, that'd be stunning. But I do think we see a submission. I do think we see it in the third round. And I'll give you a bold prediction, Mike. I'm going to look further ahead. This is the first fight of what will become the story that brings Khabib Nurmagomedov out of retirement.
Whoa.
I have said, this is not new for me. I have said this on various shows, that what would it take to bring Khabib back? And it wasn't Charles Oliveira at the time. I said someone has to rattle off like 4 or 5 straight like dominant title defenses and just clear out the division again. And I think he would think about it. This is also before, of course, his plans to sort of expand Eagle FC into the United States. So he's kind of all in on that. And now I think most people would imagine that if he were to come out of retirement, it would be for his own promotion. So this is a bit of a more difficult kind of story to forecast now, but I have always thought, so he beats, let's say he beats Gaethje, he fights Makhachev, Makhachev beats Dariush, he fights Makhachev, he beats Makhachev. Yeah, it's Khabib's buddy, right? That's the proxy Khabib, as everyone's saying, the next Khabib, he beats him. Maybe he sneaks in another fight with McGregor before the end of the year, that'd be amazing, or just another title defense because it's top 5, top 10 lightweight. And then by 2023, you start hearing those rumblings about Khabib wanting to come back and reclaim his lightweight supremacy. Maybe Khabib fights for Eagle FC first. Maybe he comes up. Maybe that's how he gets out of retirement going. Like, takes a fight, wins a fight at Eagle FC, and then says,
I don't think contractually that's even a possibility.
That he can't fight for Eagle FC?
I'm almost confident that he still has a UFC contract.
Okay, well then, anyway, that goes better with what I'm building anyway, so that's even less complicated. So, 2023, we start hearing rumbling, or at least people ask him, hey, Oliveira, 4 or 5 straight title defenses, submitting all these guys. Some people saying he's the dominant lightweight champ, maybe the greatest lightweight ever. And I think this is a fight I wanted to see before Khabib retired. I was a little heartbroken when he walked away because I did want to see him fight Oliveira at some point. So part of me still thinks that it could happen. Not this year, obviously, but Khabib is still young. I think could still dominate everyone in the lightweight division, maybe even including Oliveira, depending who you ask. So let's see. I want to see it proven. Oliveira's got a lot of work to do to earn that fight, though. But I'm starting to think it's possible.
All right. Well, I'm hoping these rumblings happen in 2023 because we're just a year removed from Dana White's decision on ABC saying, tune in because I'm going to give you an update on Khabib. And it was nothing. It was literally nothing. So I don't want to go through this whole thing again. But I like where your head's at, AK. I like where your head's at. Shaw, what's your gut telling you right now?
I love it. I'm all in. I sign up for what AK is laying out here. Let's get Khabib back. That seems crazy that anybody would talk about Charles as the greatest lightweight ever. That feels like we're like 7 wins away from that even being a conversation. But everybody is so knee jerk in this sport. You never know. I just have to say, I am so looking forward to this event. This event might be my most anticipated event now in 2022. Just the combo of those two title fights, Glover, Jiří, Charles, Justin, like that's so good. And so you're asking for an early prediction. I predict lots of pain for Brazil on this night. I really do. I think Jiří is the best lightweight in the world, light heavyweight in the world. I think he's going to take it. And I think Justin, I just believe in him, man. I just believe in Justin. And maybe this is more fuel to the fire for Charles. Maybe this is what he needs to be back to the nobody believes in this champion. Go ahead and post this on your social media, Charles, and put this up on your wall on the billboard material. I think you're going to lose. I think Justin's going to win this one too. I'm just saying, I've seen this man for the entirety of his career. He's an Arizona guy. I went to all of those early WSOF fights. I have seen the progression that this man has made. And if Khabib Nurmagomedov did not exist, I think Justin would be in the middle of a pretty lengthy title reign at this point. He feels to me like the best lightweight in the world outside of maybe Islam, because that Islam is obviously that question mark that we don't know how good Islam is yet. I just feel like Justin gets it done. And he's not going to let this go. If it is a finish is near, he's not losing that finish like that. He's finding what he needs to get it done. It's early. Maybe I'll change my mind, but I'm just saying, Charles Oliveira, this is your billboard material, my man. I think Justin's going to beat you.
I'm going to give you some billboard material, Brazil. You're going to walk out May 7th with two still champions because Glover's going to win and Charles Oliveira's going to win. How about that? I'm sticking
You've
on,
been
Glover
on Glover. You have been on Glover. I say you're consistent.
And our own Jed Meshew has said into a live microphone, you have me thinking about it. I might be changing. I might be jumping on Team Glover. And he was definitely first Team Jiří Procházka. So we'll see what happens. But I think Glover just needs to take him down once and he'll win. Just one takedown, he'll win the fight. And Yuri's got ways to win. He's a scary dude. But Glover just needs one takedown. And I don't think the fight's going to last much longer than that. So there we go. The first team all-violence main co-main event. Maybe the best one in UFC history. UFC 274. Justin Gaethje will challenge Charles Oliveira for the lightweight title. Jiří Procházka, who's heading to Fight Ready pretty soon to train with that team of Henry Cejudo and Captain Eric and Eddie Cha. Yuri's going to Fight Ready to get ready to challenge Glover Teixeira for the light heavyweight title. Should be a fun card on May 7th. So there's our reaction. That card will continue to build. We'll let you know as soon as we find out where this card will actually take place. It's going to be somewhere in the United States and not Brazil. So for Sean, for AK, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.